And we are recording.
Okay. With that, I will call to order the November 2nd, 2020 meeting of the City of Kirkland Design Review Board. We will begin with roll call.
Randall Brand.
Present.
Brad Brown. Carlos Castaneda.
Here.
Ting Chen.
Here.
Shoshana Cohen.
Here.
Adam Crane.
Here.
And Tim Olson.
Here.
Thanks.
We have three meetings to review and approve minutes on. That would be the July 6th, July 20th, and August 17th, all of this year, 2020. Any of the board members have any changes or comments or thoughts on these? I found nothing in them that I saw, so. Nobody? Well, with your approval, I can, I think, just approve by consent without doing the roll call. John, is that permitted?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. Approval on those minutes. Tonight's agenda is one item, and that is the Design Response Conference for the 108th Office Project. File number is DRV20-00187. And I will mention, because we have only one agenda item tonight, Brad Brown is not at tonight's meeting because he has a appearance of fairness issue and perhaps conflict of interest, because he is, I believe, employed by the applicant's architect. So Brad is just not going to be here at all because there's only the one agenda item. So with that, let's see, what's our chat count? 18. John, do we have any members of the audience who have shown an interest to speak? I don't see any.
Nothing yet. We do have six attendees. So when the time for a public comment comes up, just remind folks, Tim, that they can just either raise their hand or note in the chat that they would like to speak, and then we'll call on them. Yep.
If any of the attendees have want to comment on anything except tonight's agenda item, now is the time to do that. Again, I don't see anybody that wants to do that, so I suggest we just proceed directly into tonight's agenda item. Aoife, I'll hand it off to you, and you can do the staff presentation.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tim. Okay, I am going to share my screen. Give me a moment. Okay. You should all be able to see that now. So good evening, everybody. My name is Aoife Blake. I'm an associate planner at the City of Kirkland. And as Tim said, tonight we're here for a design response conference for an office project on 108th Avenue Northeast. So the subject property is located at 6700 108th Avenue Northeast, in the Houghton neighborhood. It contains a surface parking lot that currently has a commercial food truck. The topography of the site gradually slopes to the east upward from 108th Avenue Northeast, and there are seven significant trees along the south property line. The property has frontage on 108th Avenue Northeast, which is designated as a minor arterial street and a major pedestrian sidewalk. Surrounding the property to the north, we have it's a gas station. The zone there is the same zone as the subject property, HENC3, with a 30-foot height limit. To the east and south, we have office developments in the zone PR3.6, also with a 30-foot height limit. And then to the west, we have the Houghton Shopping Center, where the Metropolitan Market is, and that is the zone HENC1 with a 35-foot height limit. So tonight at this design response conference, the board should review the project for compliance with the pedestrian-oriented design guidelines, discuss topics identified by staff and other board members, and deliberate on the applicant's proposal and provide feedback to the applicant. Just a brief note here on process and where we are with the project. The conceptual design conference was held back in December 2019. We're here at the design response conference, and after receiving DRB approval, the applicant will be required to obtain development permits. The applicant is proposing to construct a three-story office building with ground floor parking and lobby access, and then two stories of office above. Both vehicle and pedestrian access is from 108th. On December 16th, 2019, the DRB held a conceptual design conference for the project. The board supported a blend of the scheme 2 and 3 presented by the applicant, and also provided some design direction regarding removing or screening parking from in front of the building and creating a strong street presence. Some of the key zoning regulations that relate to this project are the permitted uses, the required yards, height, parking, and right-of-way improvements. The plans submitted comply with these regulations. So the applicant has pursued kind of a hybrid design between scheme 2 and 3 that were presented at the CDC. As you can see, the proposal incorporates horizontal modulation, fenestration patterns, architectural elements, and material changes on the building's facade to help break up mass and create a human scale and the prominent entryway form. The height of the building, which is 3 stories, requires an upper story setback to create a receding building form as the building height increases. The design complies with this requirement, and the applicant is proposing to utilize the space within the step back as a roof deck. And the board has the authority to allow a roof deck within the step back area. So tonight the DRB should provide input on the following items listed here. Does the west facade facing 108 contain enough modulation and architectural elements to produce a strong street presence? Does the board approve the roof deck within the upper story step back area? And have all the facades utilized adequate techniques to break up building mass? And are they adequately designed to deal with blank walls? In terms of access, the proposed plans show vehicular access to the parking garage from 108. Most of the parking is proposed to be screened from the right of way, either by behind the building or by behind these screened walls. Since the CDC, the applicant has refined the layout of the parking garage to reduce the number of parking stalls in front of the building to just one compact sized parking stall. The zoning code requires a landscape buffer to screen this parking stall from 108th, and staff recommends that the landscape island include either a hedge or a small wall along the eastern edge of the landscape island to further screen the stall from the right of way and to ensure that adequate screening is maintained after the corridor improvements are made along 108th. The pedestrian access is also directly from 108th Avenue via a dedicated walkway separated from the driveway by a landscape island. The entrance to the lobby includes lighting and awning to enhance the pedestrian experience. On page 13 and 14 of the plan set, there's a landscape plan and a species list provided by the applicant. The board should provide input on these items, what, if any, changes are needed to the landscape plan, and are there any other opportunities for landscaping in the project? And then on page 18 and 19 of the plan set is information regarding the materials, colors, and details utilized for the project. The applicant is proposing a mix of metal panels and stone tile for the building, materials with a charcoal, gray, and bronze color palette. The board should provide feedback to the applicant regarding these materials and colors and discuss whether any additional or larger samples of materials or colors are needed. We received one comment on the project. Mainly the concerns raised were around building height and the maintenance of retail uses in this area. So tonight the board should deliberate on the applicant's proposal and after deliberation, either approve the project, approve with conditions, or return for another design response conference. If the board does determine that another design response conference is needed, please outline what additional information is needed to decide on the project. And I can take any immediate questions now from any of the board members. If not, we can move on to the applicant's presentation.
I had a question on the, you said there were seven significant trees. Yes. Are those going to be retained or removed, or what's the plan for those?
The plans currently show them to be removed. Okay, I can stop sharing my screen.
With no other questions directly to Aoife, let's go ahead and proceed to the applicant for their presentation.
All right, thank you all for making the time tonight to let us come in and present the project. I know it's kind of weird circumstances here. I'm definitely not used to presenting while sitting in a chair with no one around me. So we'll see how this goes. My name is Dustin Thorlaxson. I'm a principal at Freiheit Architecture, located just in Bellevue, formerly Kirkland. I also have Chris McBride with us here, our landscape architect from Brumbaugh and Associates. And he's gonna be covering the landscape portion as well. So let me see if I can go ahead and share my screen. We'll get started. Is everyone able to see the screen? Perfect. All right. Oops, that didn't work. Okay, well, Aoife, thanks for the introduction. You did most of the beginning part of this presentation, so I appreciate that. We'll kind of skip through a little bit. I think most people here have seen kind of the zoning information, so we'll go through that pretty quickly. As Aoife said, we're looking at an office building on 108th. What we did is from our conceptual design conference, the board kind of said, you know, we really like some aspects of Scheme 2 and some aspects of Scheme 3. So we kind of took that and kind of the other feedback and kind of tried to hybridize them into a new scheme, which you see here on the bottom. In addition, this involves a couple of back and forth between Aoife and other staff at the city and us to further refine it before it got to this level here. So what we're looking at is we have a little bit under 8,700 gross square feet of office building. That equates to the 28 parking stalls that were allowed. We previously had, as Aoife said, two additional stalls in front of the building. In talks with the city, those were asked to be removed in order to kind of ease the congestion of people turning into the site. It also will be a right in, right out parking lot with its proximity to the main intersection. So that was also taken into account to remove those parking stalls in the front. Because we had to lose those two parking stalls, what you'll see, we really tried to maximize the gross square footage. This really came down to trying to maximize every little part that we could on this project to make it feasible. The site itself is very small, very constrained. I mean, you'll see that as we move through this. Zoning information, kind of just some pictures from the site. What's on there now, currently just a surface parking lot that slowly slopes up towards the east. In the HENC 3 zone, right on the edge here. And then the office buildings to the south and on the east, as well as the gas station is towards the north. So the zoning is a really interesting thing that we have here in the HENC3 zone, which has the upper level step back. So that's kind of what's kind of guided the form that you see on the front of the building. How the code reads is any story above the second floor requires a step back from the facade below. It has a minimum step back of 5 feet, and then the average step back has to be 15 feet. So in some of the previous schemes, we had stepped back the entire kind of entry element. I'm in talks with the city that was revised to bring that entry element closer to the street and just step back the portion of the entry element up on the upper floor. Site plan, we reviewed it last time. And here's the revised overall site plan. You can see there's only one parking stall here, which is in front of the building, but it's actually covered by the upper stories above. And then a concrete wall behind it, which is a shear wall for the building, but also screens the remainder of the parking. One of the requests from the conceptual design conference was to provide two site sections, which you'll see here. Here on the top is a site section going east-west. You can see the Starbucks store here towards the west. It's a lot further over than I was able to fit on the page here, but you kind of get a sense of how it slopes up towards the east. One of the requirements for this site is there is an easement from the neighbor towards the east. So these are the stairs you see going up to the east neighbor. They have a pedestrian access easement down to 108th. All of the stairs and improvements that have to do with that are on the adjacent property. So you'll see them on the plans, but they're actually not part of the subject property. They'll be constructed on the neighbors. That's a connection through there. This one here on the bottom is the section going the other direction, looking towards the west. So you have the Jacksons and the gas station on the right side, and on the left, another three-story office building. So you kind of get a sense of the heights here. Just calculating the ABE, we have a 30-foot height limit in this zone to the top of the building, and then an additional 4 feet for mechanical screening. You'll see once we get to the 3D elements here in a minute, is the entry element sticks up those additional 4 feet and becomes the mechanical screening. So the mechanical is fully concealed from the street below, kind of sitting inside of a well, if you will, on the roof. A diagram showing the gross square footage. Like I said, we went back and forth with the city a number of times, trying to get the gross square footage, maximizing every little square that we could get here. We have a total of 8,688 gross square feet in this building. One of the things that we had to do here that you'll notice is different from the schemes of the conceptual design conference is this rear stair in the back is now an exterior stair. So it's actually an exit the envelope of the building to get to the exterior stair. It just becomes an egress stair and a deck on the back. The reason we had to do that again was to maximize the gross square footage allowed to make the project feasible. Since we were so restricted on the parking, one of the things in Kirkland is the parking often dictates what you're able to build on the project. And this was a solution we were able to come to agreement with on the city, with the city. For lot coverage, allowed 80%. We do have permeable pavers in the back parking area where it's exposed to the sky. So that gets us down to that below the 80% threshold here. And then going to the landscape plans here, I'm gonna leave the screen sharing on my screen. And then just let Chris take over here to give you a quick overview of the landscaping. And Chris, just let me know when you wanna switch over to the other plan. Chris, I think you're still on mute.
Hi.
There we go.
How's that?
Perfect. I can hear you now.
All right. Sorry about that. Again, my name is Chris McBride. For those I haven't met, I'm a project manager and landscape architect with Brumbaugh & Associates, and we've been working with Dustin and his team and the ownership group over the last few months to refine the design based on comments received and work through some of the issues at hand with the site and the parking and the footprint of the building. So what you see here on the screen right now is just a illustrative rendered plan. Obviously, with the complexities of the site and the development, we've been left with a little bit of space not a lot for landscape and irrigation, but we are trying to focus as much as we can on that frontage off 108th and really create a sense of arrival into the office space by flanking the entry drive, getting a couple additional street trees in there, and then some planting, and seasonal planting is what we're focusing in on, you know, a series of perennials, grasses and evergreens to kind of give that seasonal interest, especially with the proximity to the streetscape and the pedestrian thoroughfare. And then with that exit stairwell that Dustin just mentioned on the south side, we were able to carve out a little bit of additional landscaping there up against the adjacent property. And then we've got our permeable pavers, obviously on that eastern edge, and that exit stairwell connection to the development to the east that we're working through to make sure that lines up with their pathway and their circulation on their site. From a plant palette standpoint, pretty typical. We've got some perennials, again, some grasses and some ferns and shade tolerant plant material. And then looking at a Japanese stewardia for the street tree along 108th, and then vine maples back in that lower section on the south side of the site. You can go next, Dustin. And then this plan is just a more defined as we work towards that kind of building permit construction document level, just seeing this a little bit more detailed in a CAD produced set as we work through that planting. And we're still working to refine this. We know that there's a desire to get some sort of screening for that one surface lot parking spot that's outside of the building footprint. So we're looking to refine that. And maybe that's like a Hicks IU or a boxwood hedgerow so that we have some evergreen cover there to give us some protection and some screening for that one space. But really, for, as I said, kind of in the intro, it's a fairly small scope of work for us, but we're here to kind of help create that sense of place and that arrival to the development.
Great, thanks, Chris. Getting back to the floor plans here, Chris was talking about the main entry here off of 108th and the dedicated pedestrian access here walking up to the main entry to the building lobby. We really shrunk the building lobby down as much as possible in order to reduce the gross square footage on the building. What you have when you enter in here, we do have the secured covered bike parking here in the lobby, kind of making that a feature element of the project, and then just open stairway going up to the upper floors. Other than that, it's just surface parking. What you can see is really maximize as much of this site area as we possibly could in order to get the correct back out distances, the aisle, everything. It's maximized as much as possible to get all the parking in here. Going up to the second floor, it's pretty much just open tenant space, a little bit over 4,000 square feet. Gross on the floor with some dedicated bathrooms on the south side. The south side we've pushed all the way to the property line and put kind of the core elements there. No windows along the south. That's also the direction that the roof slopes towards. So all of the windows are oriented towards the west, north, and the east. The third floor is similar, but this is where you can start to see where that upper level step back happens. Here in above the entry element, we have the minimum 5 foot step back. And then for the deck, it's somewhere around 20 feet for a step back for the deck. And that's in order to make that 15 foot average step back on the upper level. So tenant space on the upper floor is a little bit less than on the second floor. And then you can see the rear deck with the exterior egress stair going down to the parking lot. For material palette, what you can see here on the dark color, this is going to be a vertically oriented metal panel, probably an AEP span is what we're kind of looking at for basis of design right now, in a dark bronze color. And then this charcoal dark gray color, also an AEP span, just kind of that change in material in the color palette for those two areas. Punched windows down on the ground floor. These are the exposed concrete shear walls down in the parking area along with steel columns. Then the main entry tower was really the design element that we really wanted to pursue based on the feedback from the conceptual design conference, really getting that real sense of entry with such a small project here. you know, where's the front door? How do you get in? How do you approach the site? So what we tried to do is create this vertical tower here. And what we've done is clad it in these 12 by 24 stone tiles here. So kind of that element, kind of that stone compared to the metal for the rest of the building. Just the entry element is that stone tile. Along the back where the east and the south side, where it's not visible from the street, the facades will change to a hardy panel where the color matches the metal panels on the other side. But since it's not visible, I'm moving over to a hardy panel product. All window mullions will be the dark bronze, kind of to match the color of these two end elements here. And then clear glass. Additional site elements that we have, site railing, since this project does slope towards the east, but in order to get the parking down there, we can't slope as much as the natural grade. So there will be a drop off from the east side. So we will have a site railing similar to this running around that wall for fall protection. Up on the deck, we're proposing a glass railing similar to what you see here in picture number two. Over the front entry, we're right up on the property line trying to maximize. So we're able to project a little bit over 18 inches. So there will be a small canopy over that entrance for a little bit of weather protection. I mean, it will look similar to this dark bronze metal canopy here. Both decks, the front and the rear, will have precast concrete pavers as their walking surface. And then the rear stair will be a steel stair attached to the building. Inside the building lobby, we have the vertical bike racks. It's going to be kind of be the kind of feature element in the middle of the stairs. And then on the front and on the rear, we have these dark bronze up and down light fixtures, just kind of wall accent. So I'm getting into just some colored elevations, what it will look like in terms of colors and material patterns. Here is the north side. This is what you would see from, 70th at that point, looking this direction. So all metal panels. Then when you get to the east side, the metal panel wraps slightly and then it turns to the hardy panels in between the windows here. Here on the south side of the building, you can see the stairs coming down, the same glass railings that we have on the front, and then that vertical entry element. We're going to the kind of overall perspectives here from the street. Here's a street view looking from the south, looking up towards the building, where you really get that sense of the entry tower, where the entry is, and the entrance to the garage. Trying to make that as clear as possible. From the north, you can see from looking past the gas station, what it will look like here. And then from the rear parking lot area, you can see the small planting and rear stairs going up. So there's some other pictures from the SketchUp model, which I have available if you wanna fly around and see anything in more detail. So again, three-story office building, tucked under parking. I think we kind of took the ideas presented in schemes two and three and hopefully met all the requirements that you guys were looking for and would love to hear any of your feedback. So thank you for the time and being able to present this project to you.
Thank you, Dustin. Any clarifying questions from the board to the applicant? We'll do deliberation obviously afterwards, but just any clarifying questions from the board? Adam, go ahead.
Just a material question. On the front facade, when you're looking to the left of the parking entryway, there seems to be a wall with kind of a blank face there. Looks white. Is that going to be that stone material? I didn't see it labeled anywhere.
No, this wall down here is going to just be exposed concrete.
That'll just be poured concrete?
Right, correct.
Okay.
Right adjacent to two parking stalls, one on each side. So we don't want the tile right on that.
Okay, that's a compact space in front of it, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Anyone else? Any questions of the applicant? Ting, go ahead.
I have a question about the depth of the canopy over the main entry. Mm-hmm. What's the reason that it's only 18 inches? Is because it's encroaching to the setback?
Yeah, the building itself is right up to the setback. And Kirkland Zoning Code, you're allowed to project 18 inches over the building setback or the canopy.
I see. There's a note in the document says it's the canopy length. It is not meeting the requirement of the 75%, right? Or 50%?
Yeah, I can answer that thing. And it's in my staff report. It's in the design, it's in the zoning code that if you have a awning on the front of the building in pedestrian oriented zone, that the awning has a certain depth and a certain coverage requirement. But of course, given where the location of the building is, that requirement conflicts with what the allowed protrusions are in a required front yard. So the 18 inches is what's allowed to protrude into your front setback for an awning.
Thank you.
Shoshana or Randall, any questions?
No, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I've got another one. Oh, go ahead, Carlos.
For this in regards to kind of like landscaping, for those future corridor improvements along 108, how does your design, your landscaping design anticipate the lobby entry will work? I mean, is all the landscaping in front of the lobby entry gonna disappear, or what's gonna happen in case those future improvements happen?
Sure, so the future improvements, we have a 12-foot easement that is required off of the street. So what would be left with is just a little bit of this planter here in front of the entry.
I see that number 4 in your mm-hmm. screen has a ramp. Given kind of like the future improvements, is the ramp layout going to change, or do you foresee any issues with that?
That's a good question. The city doesn't have any plans on what is going to happen there that they were able to share with us at this point. It just asked us to allow for a 12-foot future easement that will happen at some point, but there's no schedule, so it's a little hard to design around that.
Okay, and the city also made a comment in regards to the landscaping that is in front of that parking that is facing 108. What is your response in how that landscaping design that you guys are presenting the parking lot is, I don't know, screened from kind of like the pedestrian and just the interaction of the pedestrian and the parking lot screen, because these are small shrubs, right? So I don't know if that's gonna make the cut, or do you guys, what's your strategy on that?
Yeah, it's our hope to get an evergreen hedgerow adjacent to that one compact space. You know, it's going to be, you know, a 3-foot to 4-foot mature growth, maybe a little bit taller, just to provide some visual protection when there is a car in that space. Obviously, things will change a bit when that easement is taken over and the roadway is widened there. But our, you know, to answer kind of your first question too, is we're fully, you know, with us and the ownership group, understanding that what we're proposing now could potentially be just a temporary plant pallet on that frontage, and that we'll need to replace and repair and redo the irrigation once the roadway is widened.
Okay, thank you.
I have a single question, and that is, what's the capacity for the bicycle storage in the in that entry area?
Currently, we have it sized for 6 stalls on the interior, and I believe 2 stalls exterior for visitors.
And those are all that the front wheel hanging style?
Correct.
Okay. Is that obviously as guests as well as tenants or?
Yes.
Okay. Have you used these type of bike racks before for office situations like this?
In design, yes. Me personally, I've never hung a bike on one. Okay. But we have some in other designs in Kirkland.
Okay. Any other clarifying questions from the board?
Yeah, I have one, Tim.
Okay, go ahead, Carlos.
I was taking a look at also the roof plan, and I couldn't identify the location where you guys are proposing to have all the mechanical units, as well as kind of like the final heights and screening materials for those.
Sure. Okay, so in this plan, you see this entry tower here. Right from the roof up is the extra 4 feet in height that we can get for mechanical screening. Mm-hmm. Creates a well here. It's about, I want to say, 6 feet tall. So all the units will fit in that well.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. With no other questions, now would be the appropriate time for the public comments. I do see that we did have Timothy O'Neill Dunn was here earlier and said he needed to leave. His question relates to the problem of the change in access in front. What happens for the access to delivery vehicles as there is now no place for access with just a single compact space? How can that work? I assume he's discussing or talking about delivery of stuff. I guess a corollary would also be trash recycling pickup as well. Dustin, can you elaborate on those?
Sure. For deliveries, we really just have this area here in the front or off the street. For trash, the trash room is located through these double doors you can see here in this view. They will have to be wheeled out and then will be picked up, and that plan has been, well, at least the plan of the parking area has been reviewed by Waste Management.
Okay. Aoife, apparently Timothy also sent you a first question, or is that the same question that I just addressed?
Let me check here. Yeah, he sent me a different question. I think he's still on the call. Timothy, if you're there, do you want to unmute yourself and speak? If not, I'm happy to read the question. Okay. It was in relation to, it says, given the proximity to the gas station and the university, what assurances do we have that the frequent disruption of traffic won't occur at this point? It seems to be a possibility for significant traffic disruption and resulting backup. I assume we're talking just about ingress and egress traffic, and I believe the turns in and out of the site are limited to a right turn in and a right turn out. So I guess that is what the Public Works Department is requiring to help with traffic flow.
Okay, I see Laura, are you still there? Do you have a question? If you can unmute and.
There we go. I wondered where we found unmute, and there it is, it shows up. I guess my question is about quality of life for those of us who live around this. We are now all kind of locked in our homes, which means we are working and we are going to school and everything from home. What is going to be done regarding the noise level of the construction? Because it's not like we can haul out and go to a library for an entire day. So I imagine that the noise will probably start early in the morning And I'm really concerned about that for myself, for my child, for my neighbors, because we're all locked in. We can't go anywhere, and this is going to be crazy noisy.
Dustin, you want to take that one?
Construction.
Yeah, not like funny, but not funny. I mean, I'm serious, because we're like, there's nowhere to go.
How do I answer that? Construction will just be done during the hours that are approved by the city. And construction activities will all just take place on site. There'll be no lay down area or anything off of the site. So construction will follow the standards of City of Kirkland. There's no plans to do any extra hours, overtime hours on that construction at this point.
Do you know what those hours are, like when it starts in the morning?
I do not, Aoife.
I can clarify. The construction hours are 7 a.m.
Oh my God.
Monday. Yeah, they start.
Do you understand why this is a concern for me? Like, this is not trivial. There's no office, there's no university, there's no school, there's nowhere to go. Do you have any idea how oppressive this is going to be for a very long time?
Justin, do you have an idea when you'll be breaking ground, approximately, and how long the project will take, and have any idea of that kind of stuff at this stage?
We haven't had conversations on the construction schedule. Of course, we need to go in for building permit and have that approved by the city. So nothing quickly. Anticipating it would probably be early of 2021 at the earliest. And then construction through the summer. Don't know the duration. On that. We haven't gotten the contractor on board to go through all the schedules and timelines yet at this stage.
Okay, may I ask the board, does this freak you out at all? Like, is there an appropriate level of freak out and responsibility to the taxpayers and residents who are going to be, this is not a little thing. It's not like we can leave our houses at 7:30 and go to work. So I beg of the board, do you understand how scared I am?
I understand, and I will, I guess, comment that there will be fairly minimal excavation on this project. It's not, there's no subterranean basement levels of parking. I do realize it's into the hillside somewhat, but Dustin, if I'm not mistaken, it should be a fairly straightforward excavation with minimal, if none, shoring, other than perhaps that back wall to keep it supported. And I understand your concern over the 7 a.m. hour. I live in Norkirk, and having experienced two brand new residents on either side of me, both of them large and very involved. 7 a.m. is a little bit early, but that's the way it is. That's what is allowed. Obviously, if the noise exceeds state limits, you know, requirements, that's an issue. But typically on something like this, I don't see anything unusual about the construction methods that are being proposed that would be.
I think what is unusual is that we are in a time of COVID and we have nowhere to go. That's kind of my concern, is it would be different if we were all going to be at work all day and then come back, but work all day is home. And I just think that doing something like this when you're in a residential area and you're going to have residents at home who are trying to function, if this wasn't work, then it would just be annoying to be woken up to a jackhammer or whatever noise construction makes. But that's not the reality that we're all living in now. So I would implore you to be sensitive to the fact that we're all trapped here with this and there's nowhere to go. And I just think this is, I think the timing of this is cruel. And we're residents, we're taxpayers, and we are in a time where we have nowhere to go. And that's, I don't feel that this is a fair set of circumstances.
If or John, do you have any thoughts to respond to Laura?
Hi, Laura. This is John. I hear what you're saying.
Like, and not COVID. It's just annoying. But this is different.
Right. No, I understand. And what's a little difficult is there are certain provisions within our codes that would allow, you know, the developer to start at a certain time. To your point, Tim, about the state noise laws, it actually exempts construction activities as long as they're occurring on the proper times. So that's difficult. So I think this discussion needs to happen really, I guess what I'm trying to say, it's not really the DRB's kind of role or nor do they have the authority to let's say deny a project based on construction noise. I think this discussion needs to occur more with our development services group, because you're right, it is a different time.
Right.
And the impacts that are being experienced are different. And it's not like our codes anticipated, you know, that we're all gonna be working.
How could they? Yeah.
Right. So I think we have your information. I think what we'll do is we'll just follow up with you afterwards.
Okay.
And then have a more, I think it's a discussion that needs to happen with like our development services group and the applicant as well, because I think the applicant should acknowledge this as an important issue. Unfortunately, this project is not required to go through an environmental analysis because of the scope of it. It's not as large. So it would not trigger an environmental review, but I think, you know, maybe we can just reach some sort of compromise if possible. But I think it's a bigger discussion than a design review board meeting.
Okay, yeah, I've never been involved in anything like this before, so I don't know what the appropriate channel is, but yeah. I would like to think that there should be one. I mean, everybody has their own circumstances. My kid's trying to do college from home, and I'm sure there are tons of us. So this, like I said, if it was just the 7 o'clock in the morning, then it's just a pain in the butt. This is different. This is, okay, I suddenly can't function because of noise levels. We are not in regular time, and I feel badly about wanting to like lie down in traffic in front of things because I understand that there's a business involved here, but we are not in normal times, and this is a residential area and we're trapped.
Right.
So I would very much appreciate a follow-up and see if there is some kind of sensitivity and responsibility towards the neighbors here, which goes beyond. So
and I guess from I guess where I'm coming from is, you know, you get like, you know, for example, you have like a state project, like the WashDOT, right? They have state freeway projects that happen near residential areas. And I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. It's like, I know they have a whole list of mitigation stuff that they do to help reduce noise. You know, like their projects can't be stopped, but there are some mitigating measures that they could certainly employ, like to help reduce the impact as much as possible. So that's kind of where I'm thinking.
Okay, no, and I would be grateful for that. But I think what is different here is the circumstance that we can't get away from it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I don't want to take my masks and everything else and go sit in Whole Foods for 8 hours when we're all trying to be distanced. So I think you're creating a scenario where you're asking people to do things that are irresponsible in order to be able to continue our work. So anyway, I think I've made my point. I would love to chat with you offline about that and see if there are things that we can do that will be humane, because right now I'm not seeing them.
Okay, thank you, Laura. I'll let John and Aoife follow up with you. We have your contact information, so thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And John, I see nobody else in the public wants to comment on the project. So let us jump right into deliberation. Couple different ways we could go. Follow Aoife's handout, scale the vehicular and pedestrian access, landscaping, and then materials and color. Or if any of the board wants to just jump right in with their own comments, feel free. I'm open to anything. Randall, why don't you go ahead? I see you right there on my column of board members.
From the previous presentation to this, I just have to commend the design team. I really like it, in that it's a very, very tight site, and just the articulation of the building, the tower that you have with the front face, the second floor being a strong horizontal element, and then dropping back with the tower kind of coming up through it. From the street perspective on it, I really like it. It's just a tough site. It's a tough site to try and get developable property onto it. I wish there's a little bit more opportunity for landscaping on the front of it. The building's pushed as far front as it can go, and that. But rest of it, now on the south side, as you go around the north side, and then you go down the east side. The north side is the metal panel. Then you go to the hardy panel on the back side or the east side. Is it the hardy panel that then continues down the south side up to the tower again, or is there metal on that?
The hardy panel continues until the tile.
Okay, what's the window configuration of the building next to you? I mean, the south wall where you come off of the tower, and it goes back a short ways, and then it indents where you've got the landscaping. You've got a lot of, you know, you've got a lot of, I guess you'd say, blank wall along that. And yes, it's buried back in there between the setbacks of the two buildings. But as you look at that, you know, the stone tile or panels that go up on the tower, and then as you go back to the east, that articulates back and it has two steps in it going back. And I'm just looking at that as being part of, or, you know, facing right into this other building to the south. And I don't recall what, I believe those are continuous strip window along that building. So I would look at that to just to say that, you know, between the two buildings, it's that particular aspect of it just need to look at. The exposed concrete, as you look at the one parking stall that is out in front of that panel, and you're using exposed concrete at that point, I assume that's specified to be sacked or whatever, but is that going to be, you know, just natural concrete, or are you going to paint that, or what are you going to do with that? Yeah, that area right there would be a question. Yeah, go ahead.
Is to leave it a natural color, but it'll be architectural finish of concrete.
Okay. But that's kind of my thoughts right now, is that I like the way that it's come together. I just, that one concrete panel in the front with the landscaping, and then the south side of the building, I'm grappling with right now and just kind of looking at it, and would like to hear other board member comments on that as we move through this evening.
Dustin, is the SketchUp model, is it of a manageable size that you could pull that up? Does it, I assume it does not have material to this level. Oh, it does, okay. And I think that building to the south is, as Randall says, I think it's kind of a continuous horizontal strip window, even on that north side, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't actually remember. My firm actually designed this building, so I have all the plans for it. I should know this. But on Google, it's not showing a view from that side, so I don't
okay. Okay. Other board member want to jump in and then following Randall's comments? Ting, are you ready? Do you want to fire away?
Yes, I can jump in. Well, thank you, Dustin, for the presentation. I think my biggest thing is also that concrete wall next to the compact parking stall. I think there is a good opportunity to be more creative with that wall. Maybe make it into have some plants hanging on that, mm-hmm. especially considering we might lose a lot of landscaping along the front. And then the overall building scale looks good to me. I think the upper setback and also the void garage entry helps break up the messing along the west facade. However, the focal point to this building seems to be the garage entry to me. At this point, when I look at the building, it draws my attention. I feel like there's an opportunity to create something that is stronger, more an icon feature for this building. Like along the lobby entry wall, all the way going mm-hmm. up on the stairs. Unlike what Randall commented, I would suggest if the second level, that material stops where the upper railing stops and then leave the tower portion to be consistent to be one stronger element. That's, to me, might present a stronger street presence for this building. Do you understand what I'm trying to convey here? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just that. Yeah, those 2 points I have for now.
Shoshana, do you want to go ahead?
I have to say that, first of all, thank you, Dustin, for the presentation. It does look very good and eye-pleasing. I have a couple of concerns. One of them, as someone who lives nearby and using this road quite a lot, that lane just before the gas station and the right turn towards the 405 is a very, I mean, not during COVID times, of course, but it's a very busy lane, right? Mm-hmm. And then you also have all the traffic there going in and out of Met Market and Starbucks. And I feel slightly concerned about the delivery and all that, let's say temporary traffic going through that parking space. It just seems like it's going to provoke more kind of congestion there. So that is something that, you know, I'm a little bit concerned about. And the other thing from the pedestrian point of view maybe is, I think I really like the way it looks, but I'm missing a little bit of warmth there, either by, I don't know, some wood siding or boards with some, a little bit of warmth there, because it seems it's very pretty, it's beautiful palette and everything, but It's just that the shell next to it, I mean, the building next to it on the right side is very, very dark, if I remember correct. And then the shell next to it is very bright with the shell colors. And then there's no kind of visual transition going on there, if it makes sense. So yeah, these are my comments.
Okay. Adam?
Yeah, I wanted to maybe get the board's feedback on the prominence of the glass railing above. I don't know. It just catches my eye no matter which angle we're looking at. I don't know if maybe a solution would be to bring the metal panels up and create a parapet, maybe set back the glass railing from the front. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have any issues with that? I realize they're trying to, you know, you're trying to get the roof deck as large as possible so people can kind of get towards the front, but just wonder if there's any visual issues that anybody else has with that.
I somewhat agree in the sense that I know the way SketchUp treats it, it won't, hopefully won't be as opaque as that. If it's clear glass with just, and I forgot to look closely at the, is it clear glass on those railings, Dustin?
Clear glass, yes, and then a metal.
But it's going to be catching sky reflections, right? So a lot of times it'll be much brighter. So I think it'll stand out a lot more when you're seeing the sky and the reflection of it.
Adam, I agree with you. If that sits kind of on top of coping or something else, it does seem to be a pretty awkward transition right there on that horizontal line. Anybody else agree, disagree?
And I think a one-to-one setback would take care of that. I think alternatively, I know it would screw up your massing, but maybe just bring the metal portion up as a parapet, take care of it. But you know, I don't think either one of those are major changes and you're still getting the large rooftop effect.
Sure.
Let's see, who have I not, Carlos, did you go? Did you talk, put comments yet?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance, but thanks, Tim. So I like the volumetry of the building. I think that the tower works great and it articulates with the kind of like a setback. I like the way that the applicant hit all the mechanical units. I do have the same comment, I believe, that Randall and Tink mentioned about the blank wall at the south portion of the building. I think that the design guidelines have a lot of blank wall mitigation strategies that you can use, maybe some binds or create something there. It also helped to bring interest to that portion of the building as you kind of like walk through there. This is a pedestrian oriented street. So there's a lot of people coming in and out from the gas station or the stores that are in front, the retail area. So I would like strongly encourage to create something there since since it's kind of like a not massive but big space where kind of like you can have more. Another comment that I have is in regards to the exterior lighting. I think your slide number 19, I only saw pointed one wall scones. I think that is next to the main entry. As kind of like a comment that I think as Shoshana mentioned, that the gas station being super bright and the other buildings being kind of like not as bright as that one. I think that I would like to see more lighting strategies. I don't know if bringing more kind of like lighting to the landscape could kind of like create some interesting shadows with the plants, or maybe just using that concrete wall that you have next to the parking area that is facing the street. Maybe that can bring interest if the applicant decides to play some sort of texture and playing with the lights and shadows. I think that would be really good. This is an open parking area. So I don't know if like lights are gonna be off or if there's some sort of regulation that stipulates a minimum level of illumination, but in regards kind of like to the exterior, I'm just concerned that during hours that are not for office, this building is going to be just shut, not illuminated. So since this street kind of like belongs to this sort of neighborhood that is stores and gas station, blah, 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 I think that it'll add more interest if the applicant could find more solutions for that. I don't have that many comments about the railing. I think that if it's clear glass, it's fine. But I'm just wondering about the solution of how you guys are connecting the railing to the metal. I don't know if it's going to have a bottom rail as shown in the image that you added as reference. It seems that that's a different type of finish than kind right. of like the one below. So I'll just encourage you to be more in line with one finish and not add multiple things to one area. The canopy, what color are you planning on painting the canopy, and is it gonna have a glass surface on top?
Yes, the steel will be painted a dark bronze and then a glass on top.
Okay, I mean, I guess that the dark bronze is the same as the storefront, right?
Correct.
System that you have there. Okay, I think that works, it relates to the building. Another thing is the screening of the parking lot. I know that I have pointed at this before, but I'll like just encourage the applicant and the landscape architect that is working with the applicant to kind of like find a way of screening that parking space. Maybe different plant selection can make the cut there, and also trying to think kind of like in the future and placing planting that is not going to be removed due to kind of like future improvements of this street. Maybe you can create more interest and just kind of like play with that idea of something that is going to be a way. Right now, they are not planters, but green spaces in front of your building are giving a lot of attention to them, which is good. But once these improvements happen, mm-hmm. we got to think about what's going to be kind of like the main essence of this. Maybe it's the lighting, maybe it's the materials. So that's another point that I just like to bring up. Other than that, I think it works. Correct me if I'm wrong, but these spaces are going to be used for office, right?
Correct.
Okay, so the access to the rooftop not the rooftop, but that open space above the second floor, it's gonna be only for the tenants?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And the hours, is there a restriction on the hours that you are gonna, that the applicant or kind of like the tenants can use that space, or is it like only during working hours or?
For the third floor deck?
Yeah, I'm just wondering what's going to be the use of that, if it's just going to be for work or for, I don't know, special events. I believe that this kind of like space is very office or workplace related. So I think that the materials blend very well, but I was just wondering what kind of like use you guys are going to give to that space. I think sure. I never saw the type of pavers or flooring that it is proposing there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And can you go to your 3D model, please? There's kind of like, the area next to the railing. Seems that it's part of roof, but it is green where the tower is, in front of the tower. Yeah. Could you just clarify if that's going to be kind of like a green area, or are you just going to add a roof membrane and just a standard?
Yeah, we're currently playing with the idea on what the owner wants to do there. We are proposing to do some green space up there, whether it's in pots or actually a green roof. is yet to be determined, but that's what the intent is at this 5-foot step back here.
Well, I guess that if you bring more life to that area, that'll like help whenever like the reduction of the street in front happens, mm-hmm. Which is good. So I like to encourage the applicant to push that idea with the client and see if you guys can make that work. And those are all my comments, team.
Okay. Thank you. I had one question. Actually, this view is pretty decent. I think Ting mentioned that the sort of the most prominent aspect of this building is the opening to the garage or to the parking through. And I'm curious, the stone at the front on the west face, that corner where you turn and drop right in there, the first thing you see are the two outswing doors, probably just painted steel doors for the trash room. And then beyond that is the blank wall where the elevator is. That's going to be a very visible piece of this building. Obviously at the third story, you wrap the stone around the tower. I'm just curious if there's what the treatment's going to be for that right-hand side of the entry as you go through there. And in addition to that, time and time again, we've faced the reality of what's on the underside of that, I'll call it the pull through or the pass through. Is it foil insulation? Is it just a hardy panel soffit material? Can lights, because the grade as you drive in goes upward, you're going to see the underside of that pull through and the entire distance back for for the building on that second story. Mm-hmm. What's that material going to be?
Sure. So to answer the first question, it's not shown here in the model, but this tile is intended to turn the corner and go back to this corner here in the back.
Okay.
So the door will be here. We haven't really figured out the material for the doors, but it should blend in with the tile as much as we can.
Okay, so that's stone tile. It matches what's on the tower.
Correct.
Okay, is there any notion of when the big old mirror on the pickup truck whacks into that corner? Is there a notion of?
Yeah, it's a bit of a concern. We do have an extra 5-foot width in addition to the required drive aisle width because of the access from the accessible stalls and pedestrian route to get to the front door. So this is fairly wide, hope being that people will not hit their mirrors on this corner, but that's really why we took it off of here, is for that same concern. But we feel that this is far enough away from the drive aisle. This will be striped as a walkway. So hopefully cars will stay away from it.
Okay. How about this ceiling material in there? What are we going to see?
The underside, this is, it's got to have a 1-hour rating between level 2 and the ground floor, so, and the insulation. So there's a lot of things going on up there. So it will be covered with the hardy soffit material. So similar to what's on the east and south facades of the building, it will be the hardy panel. So when you look up, you'll only see the panels and the light fixtures.
Okay. So the one aspect I kind of like about that, the second story, initially I was kind of put off with just a very flat, just unbroken. You got 6 windows, 5 windows, 6 windows. They look like they're really close with a sill height fairly close to floor level. What is that sill height on those windows?
What is it? I'd have to go into the model to check. It's pretty much the height to just get a outlet underneath them. So okay. 8 inches or so.
Okay. I mean, with clear glass in an office like this, I think that really is an advantage, that it kind of activates that presence to the street. People are looking up there. However, if it truly is clear glass on a west-facing facade, that seems to me to be just a massive solar gain issue that you're going to deal with. Am I incorrect in that it's not, in fact, clear glass?
It will be, I mean, current thought is it will be high-performing clear glass, so there will be a heat gain issue. But we use some glass that we have in other projects facing west using the clear glass, and it's just high performance.
And probably user controllable blinds or some sort of sun control on the
inside? Yes, so there will be blinds on the inside.
Okay. Well, that's my only comments. Anybody else have any other follow up?
I'd like to follow up if I could on one comment I made earlier, and it relates to the awning above the door, above the entry door. I know the applicant's showing it to be 18 inches right now, and referenced a section of the Kirkland zoning code that would limit it to 18 inches. There is another section of the code that would allow it to extend into the required yard. The full depth that the pedestrian walkway standards allow, the 5 feet. So I just want the board to be aware of that we could have an extended canopy there per zoning code. And I'm happy to follow up with you, Dustin, about that.
Yeah, thank you, Eva. Great.
Board, what do we think on that?
I don't foresee any issues with extending the canopy there. I think that since this is a pedestrian-oriented street, a canopy would be of much help given the climate and rain conditions of Kirkland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we do, let's say we can go out of 5 foot, which I agree with, makes it much more usable. Mm-hmm. Do we end up, obviously, if it's just a moment connection bolted on, that's pretty good distance. Will it have some angled tiebacks or you know, tension rods holding it up? Dustin, would that be a reasonable assumption? Or
I'm looking. That would be a good assumption, that there'll be some sort of tiebacks or extra angles on the top. So it'll be slightly different from the image that was presented. You see in the image presented, it is doable, but most likely with our type of construction, there may be some tiebacks. Now, we don't have to go the full 5 feet. We also could just cover the sidewalk in front. We can look at that structural.
How do the other board members feel about going a little further than the 18 inches? Adam, thumbs up, I see. Shoshana, thumbs.
Is there approval process that we've got to give approval to on that? Is there, you know, say, yeah, extend it out more than 18 inches, but what's the code say on that?
The code says that it should be 5 feet in width or like in depth. And so it would be the inverse is if we were, like we've done on other projects, if we were to approve a modification for it, then we would have to look into that and have the applicant provide response to the modification criteria and bring it back to the board for review and consideration.
I guess which one comes first? Is the 5 feet of the canopy out? Is that primary to the setback rules, or which one rules? I'm just looking for, you know, a question on the rules. I like the idea of extending it out so it's actually usable. And that, but then the question is that within the guidelines of the rules?
Yeah. Dustin, could you zoom in on the SketchUp model so you're kind of standing on the driveway looking at that canopy? I'm just wondering if it makes sense to extend it past the windows so it kind of covers the entryway a little bit for pedestrians.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the code does require a 5 foot canopy. And then the code also allows a canopy to be in the required yard. So there's really no modification that the board needs to approve. Okay. If that's what you're asking, Randall.
Yeah, that answers my question. Thank you.
Yeah, I think definitely get the 5 feet will help the is, you know, this just does nothing for rain protection or anything. Obviously, if it extends all the way further to the north to cover the walkway portion from the driveway portion, John, it does not have to extend further than the corner where the doors are, correct? Is that, because that's still part of the pedestrian access at that point, the one that goes east and west?
We can double check, but I seem to recall that it's required wherever you have the walkway.
Okay.
So it might, I think it would have to go all the way to the corner.
But not beyond the corner to contain the striped walkway that Dustin described.
No, because then you'd be under the building pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So board, it sounds like we all are enough of a majority approve of the definite 5-foot awning at that point. I'm going to look at Aoife's bullet points, and I think we've addressed quite a bit of this in just our general comments. The west facade, enough horizontal modulation and architectural elements. Sounds like the one thing that was commented on several times is that concrete wall that is to the east side of the single compact parking stall, that we want to see something more than just a even a sacked architectural finish concrete wall. Is that a fair summary of what our thoughts were on that west facade?
I'll jump in on that. Yes, I don't know. I think we always keep trying to rely on sacked concrete or color concrete, and concrete's not a stable color. You're not quite sure what you're going to get when you get it, and I just, when you've got a stone, you know, a stone panel or tile system on the kind of tower element on it, and then you go into something that's just a kind of at free will, they just seem to kind of fight each other is the way I'd look at it. And so I just look at that there needs to be probably something a little bit more formal on that instead of just sacked concrete, unless you're just going to pour it and not do anything with it. I think with the steel, the metal panels that you have around it, the glass and that type of thing, then it just feels like you have an unfinished surface.
Anybody else? I agree. One of the buildings that's north of this site, and I don't know the name of the building, it's the one that's got the south facade has very carefully constructed, almost artwork panels of concrete that have relief built into them when they were cast. And it really breaks up an otherwise huge expanse of south-facing concrete very nicely. I think it's probably just, you know, precast or poured concrete that was hoisted into place. Is anybody else familiar with that building I'm talking about? It's about...
Yeah, I've seen it. It's quite nice. It's kind of horizontal, vertical. It's kind of a rotating pattern, but it's squared off, but very nice.
Yes, they're squares, and it struck me as a very good way to deal with it. Maybe there's something like that. I agree with Randall. There are too many variables with just poured concrete with snap ties or whatever else happens, even sacking it later on. It's a real hit and miss sometimes. The other piece of her bullet items, it sounds like we're in fair agreement on the roof deck on that third floor, albeit with comments on the railing. I assume that the staff will verify that they've met the required quantity of that roof deck. Are we in agreement that that's that step back is sufficient and that meets the design guidelines?
Yes. It meets the zoning code, if you're asking. Yeah.
Okay. How about that south facade? I know, Randall, you brought it up initially, and others commented on it as well.
I took the opportunity to just do a quick Google search, and the building to the south does have strip windows go all along the north property line, or as best I can tell, go along the north property line. And so that building is looking directly into the south wall of this particular project. And I mean, it's a tough issue because you've got the tile or the stone surface going back, and then you go to the hardy plank or the hardy product. But that first set of that is all zero lot line. And so there's really no, it's really hard to get anything, any openings in that. And from the building to the south, if you put windows in there looking into the building to the north, is that ideal? I don't know. I just look at it that it's an awfully blank situation that's even a darker color. So as you're looking out of the second and third floor of the building to the south, you're just looking into a dark wall. And the other building actually appears that it steps north. I mean, at the front of the building is set back from their own property, from the property line or the zero lot line of this particular project. But then as that building moves to the east, it actually steps north a little bit to where it even gets closer to the building.
Randall, do you think it's something that can be handled with just materials? Obviously, there's no openings allowed there break it up.
Like I said, I'm not, it's zero lot line. It's a tough problem. Using the Hardy product, you're going to have to paint that. And it will probably have to have more maintenance than metal siding and that type of thing. And so you've got kind of their lower quality element facing directly into this other building. And so I look at that and I just go, I don't know if it's just doesn't seem ideal.
Okay.
But as far as a suggestion, I'm sure the architects have scratched their head on this one trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Adam, any thoughts on that?
No. I think the building's pretty nice as is, to be honest.
Okay. Jumping down a little bit, landscaping. I think we've kind of danced around it a little bit with the unfortunate fact that there's really not a lot of landscaping options, especially if that 12-foot easement ever gets taken up with a long right-hand turn lane heading northbound on 108th. Any thoughts on the material selection for the landscaping? It's out of my expertise area. I do agree, seasonal color and some perennials that have color is a good thing always. Anybody else have any thoughts? Hearing none, then I'll jump to Aoife's final bullet point, which was the building material colors and details. Is anybody else, I know Shoshana, you'd mentioned it lacked a little bit of warmth. It does seem to be fairly monochromatic with dark colors, dark hues, if you will. Shoshana, do you want to elaborate on that a little bit? Any thoughts or suggestions?
Yeah, well, just as I mentioned before, the building that is next to it is pretty dark, and the Shell station to the left is pretty light. So I would like to see some transition there. Obviously the tower is made very beautifully and it represents some brighter elements, but just like Carlos, I believe said, we can do more with lighting, or we could do more with brighter colored materials, maybe on the more to the northern facade, because there's not, in my eyes, maybe I'm wrong, maybe we can see the 3D again. I just want to see the balance between the bright portion of the building and the darker one. So the north facade seems very, very dark with no brighter elements. So maybe lighting or brighter colors there would have more balance, but just a little bit, like the proportions seem very dark versus very bright. These are my thoughts. So I would try to encourage the applicant and research some more balance with the bright side.
The SketchUp model makes the, I know the colors are never dependable on SketchUp models. The metal panels appear to be a real bluish gray. I assume that's not, or is that, that's not the metal panels.
What are these that? Not the, the windows?
Well, the, that's the metal panels I'm talking about. Those
are, okay, yeah.
That's charcoal color, correct?
Correct.
And it looks very bluish gray on my screen, and even looking in the handouts or the packet, it just looks just dark gray versus the bronze metal panels, which is the one that's on the north side of the, I'll call it the compact parking stall right there. Since we don't have physical paint chips and, you know, samples anymore. There we go.
Yeah, it's a little tough when you can't bring in the actual materials.
Yeah.
So I think these are the two that we were looking at, midnight bronze, dark bronze.
Okay.
The midnight, it's hard to tell, but midnight bronze is basically a charcoal.
Is it on the warm, the brown side of gray, or is it on the blue side?
Probably
guys I'm talking about.
This one.
I'm just reacting to the what the elevations look like and what the SketchUp model shows. If those aren't matchy match, is there enough difference in them that it looks intentional versus, oh, that bronze, the dark bronze, doesn't really go with the midnight bronze.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tim, I know that for other projects that we have reviewed, we have usually asked for material samples. I don't know if it is the case with this project, if the applicant could provide some material samples to the board members just for us to kind of like review them. We have been receiving them in the packet that usually the city or the staff distributes. So I don't know if that's an option, just to clarify on kind of like the materials and how they are represented in reality rather than just on the screen or paper.
Okay. Other board members kind of react to what Shoshana's talking about on that north side, and that's what I'm looking at as well, that there may not be, so obviously this doesn't match at all what the packet colors are they going to be too similar where that whole north side is just dark with no relief whatsoever?
I'm more inclined to see what kind of seam they are using for those kind of systems. I know that the kind of like brownish color has some vertical seams. But is it the reality that you're only going to see the verticals, or is there like a connection of materials or an overlap of one material to with the other? I know that oil canning is kind of an issue whenever like you have very long materials. So I don't know, just seeing what type of a system they are proposing, as well as kind of like some physical materials, would help us clarify kind of like these questions that we're having. And also, I don't know if like lighting can be kind of like an alternative for this building. I mean, obviously during business hours, that is during the day, you don't need that much light, but whenever like it gets dark, it's more hard to kind of like stand out and make the building more noticeable, or like feature some portion, some architectural portions of it. So maybe that wall can be washed with some accent lighting on the exterior, or some sort of strategy. I don't know. It looks good, but I'm just more inclined to see what kind of system they are using, as well as some real finishes.
And I do notice we don't have a lighting plan. At least I didn't see one. Do we? Is there one that I missed?
No, it's just shown on the floor plans and not a full lighting plan.
Okay. I kind of agree with Carlos, so it would be nice to see a little bit more elaboration of how the lighting interacts with the colors and the hues.
Yeah, especially since that portion, the north facade is kind of like connecting with an space that it's empty for now. I don't know if like the applicant can find some sort of strategies to bring more attention to those architectural elements. Again, I make a lot of emphasis for this building with the shadows, lights, and I don't know. I'll just kind of like send this to the applicant and see what he can come up or like present in a better way these kind of like elements that are fairly visible from kind of like the sidewalks and that portion of the street.
Okay. I actually have a question for staff that I forgot to ask earlier relating to signage. What kind of signage is, I know it's a separate signage permit, but what types of signage will be allowed on this west facade, or is there a monument sign that's permitted here out at the street? Aoife or John, what is that, what are we looking at there?
Yeah, I have to, give me a second. I just want to dig it up in our zoning code.
I know it's related to street frontage. Given such a small frontage, it limits the amount of signage.
Yeah, there'd be the types of signs that would be allowed here would be wall-mounted, marquee, pedestal, projecting, and monument signs. The sign area will be just determined on the linear footage of the project. So while that will dictate their sign area, so that, I don't know if that would necessarily make monument signs feasible, but they are an allowed sign type.
Okay. Dustin, has there thought been given to that? I know, is there a tenant lined up already, or is this going to be multiple tenants with just a building name versus a company or tenant name?
Right, all those options are still up in the air. Of course, they'd like to get one tenant to fill the whole building, but it's set up that it could be for multiple. So we haven't had any in-depth conversations about building signage at this stage, but we definitely have not had any conversations about any monument sign. I would think that it would be wall-mounted sign, whatever it ends up being.
Okay, all right. Okay, any other thoughts from the board for kind of summarize and try and wrap up what we've come up to?
Finished samples, Tim?
Samples, yeah. So my gut level is that it sounds like there's enough questions in some of our minds that this is not ready for approval tonight. Is that a fair assumption on my part?
I think so.
I see a Shoshana nod. Adam looks like a nod. Okay. So we'll extend the design response conference and let's give them some exact items. Obviously, we've talked about that, the concrete wall, south facade, north facade.
Canopy at the entry.
Canopy at the entry. Thank you.
Possible revisit of the railing at the glass railing at the top. Then we got the overall darkness issue that I think is probably a big one.
Yes. Anything else that we would like to see? Carlos mentioned lighting, which I agree. A little more definition of where and how on key portions of it.
And if the applicant has an idea on the panel system that they are going to use, maybe just to share it with us, just to have an idea of the scale of those lines and see how they interact with the different materials.
Okay.
Are you receiving physical samples? I think when I spoke with EFA, since we were doing it digital, we didn't provide any. So are we looking for physical or picture representations?
I think that the last time we received physical samples, paint chips, I don't know if that's possible, staff.
I think it could be possible if you're happy to receive something in the mail.
Yeah, I think especially the metal panel colors, if it's just the ASC metal, that's you get essentially paint chip size, but I do believe that's a very common sample size that is available.
We usually will bring in a 12 by 12 actual sample of the actual pattern that we're using. I think that's what Carlos is asking.
Oh. Versus just the color.
Right. We'll bring the color samples as well. But in terms of, fins and how wide the panels are, we have that selected. I have the website and the images available.
Okay, well, that's a decent, if we get the link for that and know that, but I agree that the actual sample colors would be fairly important. Obviously the stone tile or, that material, that's not sampleable, but I trust, and it sounds like we're all liking that material. So I don't think that's critical to receive samples on that. So to the extent that that's possible with the others, that would be great. Anything else, board, that we'd like to see next time? Dustin, any other questions from you applicant wise on terms of if what we're asking for is confusing or?
I have something. Maybe again, the trash door treatment. How are they going to address that? What's going to be the look of that wall?
Okay.
More details?
Mm-hmm. Okay. If that's all we have comment wise, I think John, Aoife, we don't need a motion and an approval to continue to, we just schedule a time for the continuation, is that correct?
Yeah, I think we need a motion to continue to a specific date.
Okay.
With, and you can just reference the list that you just described. So date-wise, let's see here. So the next meeting would be the 16th November. And then the next meeting after that would be?
The December 7th.
December 7th. So I kind of leave it up to the applicant as far as, you know, how soon you can provide the materials, and then to IFA, like how much time you need to get the packet prepared.
John, can you clarify, do we need to renotice the continuation?
No, no, as long as we make clear the date that we're continuing it to, we do not need to send notice.
Okay, then I would say that I would want to receive a packet at least 2 weeks prior the meeting. Sorry, 3 weeks prior the meeting, excuse me.
That's a week ago, if they're doing the 16th of November.
So that won't work.
No.
I could make that.
Because I'll have to send it to the board members the week prior. So I would need it 2 weeks prior to sending it to the board members, totaling three. So Justin, we can do the 7th if you can get it to me by Monday the 16th of this month.
Consider it done.
Justin, does that sound good?
Yep.
Okay. So if someone wants to move that we continue to the 7th of December, that would be great.
I move that we move the continuation of this project to the 7th of December.
Second.
Moved and seconded to continue the Design Response Conference to December 7th. Let's see, I think we probably have to do a roll call on this. Jeannie, is that right?
Correct. Randall Brand?
Yes.
Carlos Castaneda?
Yes.
Ting Chen?
Yes.
Shoshana Cohen?
Yes.
Adam Crane?
Yes.
And Tim Olson?
Yes. Moved and approved. So we will see this on the 7th of December. Thank you to the applicant, and we will see you then.
All right. Thank you all for your time tonight.
Okay. Let's see. Our next item, board, is simply administrative report and DRB discussion. Poll attendance. John, we don't know if there's anything on the 16th at this point. It looks like nothing, correct?
Currently nothing. So we're looking at the 7th. And depending on whether or not we get another, because we were anticipating the Slater mixed-use project to come in. Mm-hmm. But it might be too late to make the second meeting in December. So we may only have the one meeting in December, which is the 7th.
Okay.
So at that meeting, we will, so I'll put it on the agenda that we have our election of officers. We're coming here at end of the year. So typically what happens is the vice chair becomes the chair. Mm-hmm. And then we'll take a nomination for a new vice chair. So start thinking about if you're interested in doing that for the upcoming year.
Okay.
Yep. And then just one other announcement. I did email all of you a reminder to provide your photo and bios. So check your email. And if you can get that, you know, within 2 weeks, that'd be great. So we're in the process of updating our website. So that'd be very timely.
Will do. In the past, we had tried to do group photo, but obviously individual photos right. Work better because as people come in and come out, you have to
at some point
all we'll the do time. That photo. Doesn't work very well. So,
right.
Okay. Anybody have any advance notice that they will not be at that meeting on December 7th that we just rescheduled? Obviously, we won't see Brad again because of his fairness and conflict of interest. So we should be able to get a quorum given the month and it is dark out. There's nothing to do except come to DRB meetings. Yeehaw. Okay. But if that's it, then let's do item number 9, adjournment. Anybody? Move for adjournment?
Move that we adjourn.
Thank you, Randall. Second. Moved and seconded. Those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nobody. We are adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you next week, everybody.
Thank you.